You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
You're John Chespagon.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Katie Nipp is a Northern California blues artist with 6 studio albums to her credit, as well as a number 10 hit on the blues album Billboard charts. Katie plays a number of instruments, including the harmonica, slide guitar, and even the boogie-woogie piano. She is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the podcast this afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on. We are talking coast to coast today. I'm in Virginia. You're in California. How's it going out there?
It's a beautiful, scorching 96 degrees right now. So,
well, we're only a few degrees behind you, so we're catching up real close today. So, I was looking over the notes that got sent over and just digging into what you've been up to in your career, and it sounds like you've been at this for a little while.
Yes, I have. About 20 years. Of being an independent artist.
Yeah. So, yeah. How did all of this begin for you?
Well, I have been singing, I don't know, since the third grade, I guess.
Okay.
Played clarinet and used the sight reading knowledge from the clarinet to teach myself piano.
Okay.
I didn't start teaching myself piano till I was like 17. And then when I got to college, I thought, okay, I'm going to major in medicine now
because
you got to make money, right? And so I walked into choir class and they were doing Mozart's Requiem and I just started to cry and I was like, okay, even if it's a much harder life path, I have got to get my degree in music.
Really? That's
I
cool.
I had to follow my heart. So I got a degree in classical voice. The colleges were very stingy. I went to Cal State Hayward, UC Santa Cruz, and Dapple Valley College. And they were very strict about only singing classical.
Uh-huh.
So I was always doing my French, German, and Italian opera. So I decided to sneak a second voice teacher on the side that was helping me do the stuff I really wanted to do, which was the belty, bluesy stuff, but in a safe way, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm a firm believer in taking really good care of your voice, so like even now, I'm still doing those classical warm-ups in the shower and everything
okay.
like that. So anyway, I actually got a preliminary record deal way back in the day, and they were like, we'll write songs, we'll hire songwriters. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm no dummy. I'll write my own songs. So I started teaching myself guitar, too.
Okay.
And then I was getting all my stuff together, and I remember knocking on their office door, and nobody was answering. This was of the record label. And I'm knocking, and it's my normal time. I visited them, you know, that I checked in with them, and I looked through the mail slot, and the furniture's gone,
oh,
and
no.
It's just cleared out.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was the day where I was like, you know what? I'm going to rock this independent career.
Yeah.
And since then, you know, I've released 5 albums and a bunch of singles and videos and got on the Billboard charts and just got some worldwide radio support. And I'm super, super thankful. And I've had some amazing shows with my band and as a solo act. And it's a fun ride.
So it sounds like
there's the whole story.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been able to do it kind of as a career pretty much the whole time. Is that right?
Well, I mean, all through my 20s and stuff, I worked at a bank and then would perform at night.
Okay.
And then once I turned 30, I hit a wall and I was like, okay, I'm really depressed. I've got to figure something out. Mm-hmm. So then I started my own teaching business of teaching piano and voice lessons.
Okay.
And that has made me a much happier person, and I feel like I'm contributing a lot more to society.
Yeah,
it's made me a better player, too, just teaching others.
Sure.
So I don't make as much as I used to make at the bank, but working from home can have good tax write-offs, too.
Sure. Well, and what's the price for happiness, too, you know?
I mean, exactly. It's priceless.
Right. So you fell in love with Mozart, but ended up in the blues. How did you go from Mozart to the blues?
Well, you know, I love all kinds of music, but when it was time to go sing in the nightclub, and specifically when it got to blues songs, it just felt like there was a nice release happening inside my body, like a sigh of relief almost.
Mm-hmm.
When I could sing that stuff, I just felt the most free. So as an artist, I think we're always looking to feel free.
Sure.
In whatever it is we're doing, without limitations. And so, I mean, yeah, people, you know, I've mainly been in the blues genre. However, you'll notice on all these records, there's elements of everything snuck in there. You know, there's some jazz.
Right. I was going to ask you that because I hear hints of jazz in some of the music, especially. I heard you do some things with just you and the piano, and I felt some jazz influence sneaking through in there too. And even one of the songs, Take It With You, I think, it felt very New Orleans style almost.
Oh, that was called Another Round. The album is titled Take It With You, but none of the songs are called that.
Okay, so it was from the album, yeah.
That would probably be Another Round.
Yeah,
that
okay.
Had the horn section on it and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
Had a boogie-woogie feel, New Orleans jazz kind of... I felt some jazz in there, so yeah, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you've gotten to play on stage with a lot of pretty prominent names in the industry also along the way, right? Doobie Brothers, Robert Cray, and Joan Osborne, folks like that?
Yeah, and all of those were solo act openers, just me
Wow.
myself up there. And that was quite the test of nerves, I have to say. When I do those gigs, it's always... I really have to kind of meditate over the nervousness to get through it.
Yeah.
You know, you're there, you're not really invited. People bought tickets to see the headliner, and
yeah.
So I walk out there, and I'm like, okay, I need to win these people over. They have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
And luckily I have. I tend to sell out of most of my merchandise when I do that, so they're
awesome.
Very great.
Yeah.
Supportive.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten to play with those folks together at the same time?
No, not yet. In fact, the sweetest thing happened when I opened for Ruthie Foster, who I
highly respect.
Yeah, we were I guess she was having dinner while I was opening for her, so she didn't hear my set.
Okay.
But afterwards, we were chatting a bunch and, you know, having wine together. And I started talking to her about guitar, and I basically, right before I put, we were packing up our gear, and right before I put my Dobro away, the resonator guitar, I was just asking her if she liked to play in open G as well, and I just started playing some licks, and she was like, "Oh, I should have had you on stage with me," and that really made me feel good.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I've never called myself a guitar player. It's always been sort of a songwriting tool. However, when Slide came along into my heart, I should say, I guess I'm starting to embrace it a lot more and enjoy.
Yeah.
Specifically, Delta Blues slide playing.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite instrument that you like to play and sing to?
Well, it's always an exact tie down the middle between slide, dobro guitar, or piano.
Okay, yeah.
And yeah, like you'll notice on my records, there's always half and half.
Yeah.
Half song, piano-based, and half guitar-based. I just can't decide. There's so much to learn, and you get all those different sounds.
In some of the notes, you told a story. You mentioned before we started that being a mom and trying to mix all of that in, reading through the story, it sounded like it kind of interrupted things for you a little bit, getting that part of your life on track.
It did. However, in the end, it made things much better because it kind of gave me a spiritual awakening of testing my love for music and getting much deeper into why I do it in the first place and valuing my precious time much more than I used to before kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I do sit down to practice or write, it's a lot more focused and genuine, I would say.
Hmm.
So I'm not messing around anymore. So it's actually made everything better in the end.
I don't know whether it was something you said or it was written about a conversation, but the line was, "My attitude was different." What was there a catalyst for that? Was it just the time involved? Is there something that made that shift? Was it a conscious thing?
At one point I got really depressed because it seemed like all I was doing was breastfeeding for like a year.
Yeah. Yeah, because you had sort of too close together, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I had a second one and breastfeeding again. And so I was like, okay. And then, you know, the older kids, so imagine breastfeeding one.
Right.
While having a tantrumy toddler climbing on you.
Yeah.
And then taking a second while the baby's napping to go see if I can play a lick on piano. Just a lick.
Yeah, wow.
And the tantrum and screaming starts from the toddler.
Yeah.
So I couldn't play a note. So, I got pretty depressed. And so, you know, you give it to God. And so I was praying about it, and I was like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
I can't handle this. You know, I'm really depressed. And basically, I had this moment where it was as if God was saying, it was as if he was holding up a mirror and saying, do you see how much you love it now?
Wow, that's cool.
Do you see how, like my love for you, music will never go away either.
Mm.
It will always be there for you.
Mm.
And when I kind of felt those words come to me, I then gained more patience.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the patience came severe gratitude for every second I did get to play and practice.
Wow.
So now I think even when I'm on stage, people can see how thankful I am to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I get a night off. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy to do what I love. And so they feel that. And all of that energy translates into, I think, the good luck that I've had lately with with my music and the successes that have come along in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Did it change your songwriting too?
Yeah, it changed it in that, not necessarily lyrically, it just changed it to be maybe a little less fluff and more, a little bit more substance maybe, but I've always tried to, I don't know, I take that back now, I don't know. I think basically I just don't waste as much time.
Okay. Yeah.
On any of it.
Yeah.
And so maybe it comes out cleaner and more honest. Maybe?
Yeah. Okay.
Would be a better way to describe it.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I like that. So you have 5 albums. Is the 6th one out? Did you get that one released?
No. Okay. I just released a single off of it so far called Chamomile and Cocaine. And I'm hoping to release the rest of it in the early part of next year.
Okay.
It depends on the COVID stuff and some of the finances I need to get together to finish it.
Yeah.
I don't mess around. I don't just record crap at home in my bedroom. I have a $20,000 budget for this album.
Oh,
and,
sweet. Okay.
It can't come from our household anymore. So I'm working on trying to find the right label.
Right.
To support us, because the team is monstrously great and in place. Everything's in place and ready to go. And if not that, then an investor, because I know exactly how to release it myself the right way.
Right, right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Is that something that you have been able to share with other up-and-coming artists? Has that ever been a thought that you would like to do that? Being an independent artist for 20 years, you obviously have learned a lot of things, how to do them the right way and how not to do them, I'm sure, at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anytime artists ask me, I definitely share what info I have to help them along. Yeah.
You mentioned having this goal. Again, I'm not sure if it was from an interview or something that was written for the press release, but to get on commercial radio and to sell millions of units and to get songs in place on TVs and movies and all of that without having to do 200 shows a year and still be able to raise your kids and be a mom. And how is that falling into place? I presume that was with this new record that you're about to put out.
Well, it was also hope for the last record, too.
Okay.
But my shit hasn't necessarily come in there.
Yeah.
But I have had some worldwide radio support that I'm very thankful for. So now, this COVID thing is a little bit of a blessing because it's allowing me to play catch-up on certain platforms I didn't give any of my time to.
Uh-huh.
So I've always been on Spotify, but I haven't even logged in or used it myself. So I'm finally learning how to promote myself on Spotify.
Okay.
So I think in the last, because of COVID and the extra time I've put in, I think that my streams have gone up by 20,000%.
Wow.
So, who knows how all of this learning and applying my, marketing skills will pan out. But it's nice to see some of the numbers going up that I wasn't even scratching the surface with.
Yeah.
So no big checks in the mail or anything yet, but I'm grateful to still just be teaching
sure.
on FaceTime,
yeah.
teaching my piano students. That way, because I'm still not letting people in my house. I'm being extra careful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with smaller children, it's you have to do that. You have to be careful in different kinds of ways.
Yeah, and mainly my mom, her immunity is very low, so I want to be able to say that nobody's been in our house, Mom. You can come over and see your grandkids.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, right.
Not worry about the virus.
So when you can get back out again, what is exposing your music to your listeners look like? What kind of tour? What kind of venues? What is that? How does that work for you?
Well, supposedly our big shows are going to be rescheduled. We have some nice theater venue shows lined up in Northern California.
Yeah.
Nothing far away yet. So just more band shows and solo shows as well, but also just finishing going back into the studio and finishing up the other songs on the record so we can get it released.
Do you have a release date in mind for that?
Not yet, no. I'm really just hoping for end of January, early February.
Okay. So yeah. six months kind of thing.
Yeah.
What kind of audience do you find that your music connects with? Do you have a, can you tell?
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of baby boomers and bikers and blues fans. And it's so funny because I'm not a baby boomer or a biker, or I am a blues fan, but I think I can just tell I'm influenced by old school stuff.
Yeah.
And it shows up in the way I sing, is my guess.
Yeah.
That's
cool. Yeah, I can see that though. It's
some deadheads.
Yeah,
it's just
sure.
random like
yeah.
that. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, that's awesome though. Cool. So people can get in touch with you. How can they get your past catalog and follow you in anticipation of the new stuff coming out?
Well, definitely follow me on Spotify. I'm on Pandora finally, so we just launched a little campaign for that. I'm on Bandcamp. I'm on iTunes. I'm on Amazon. So just KATIEKNIPP. It's a funny last name spelling. I'm on all the platforms
that
you can think of.
Okay.
I don't think there's any platform I'm not on.
Yeah.
At this juncture.
You have to be on them all now. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever your listening preference is, just type my name in. And of course I'm most excited about the new single Chamomile and Cocaine. Click that first.
Yeah. Good.
Add me to your playlists on Spotify and Pandora and stuff. That helps me a lot.
Yeah.
And of course buying it too. Through the end of August I'm donating all of the profits from the single to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund.
Okay.
To kind of help with our civil rights movement we're going through right now.
Yeah.
So obviously Bandcamp is the place to go for that because you can donate any amount. You can pay what you want.
Okay.
So I've had some generous people pay 10 or 50 bucks for the one song. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, good. That's awesome. Good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Katie. I appreciate it. It's good talking to you and learning about your music, and certainly wish you the best with the new record and getting back out on the road.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.